This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. The White House has shifted stories multiple times this week over the timeline of spousal abuse allegations against former White House Staff Secretary Rob Porter. The scandal has shed more light on the president's leadership style. It's also affected the credibility of White House Chief of Staff John Kelly. Rumors of his replacement are already swirling around the Capitol. Meanwhile, a longtime personal lawyer for Donald Trump said this week he paid $130,000 from his own pocket to Stephanie Clifford. She's a pornographic film star who previously claimed to have an affair with the president before he was in office. Here to break down that and much, much more is political junkie Ken Rudin. Hello, Ken.
Hello, Frank. By the way, those who know her, like myself, we call her Stormy Daniels, okay?
That was...
Yeah,
well, I understand that. I understand that. And I won't ask you how you know her by that name.
No,
let me ask you this. I want to switch gears because those are headlines among the many, and of course, the headline was the tragic death of 17 young people. Again, more gun violence in America. So let's start with the NRA right now. The lobbying budget of the NRA has shifted dramatically over the past decade. It's really become a different organization as it moves to protect the gun industry in this country. Tell us more about the change in the NRA.
Well, the biggest change is the fact that you have unified Republican dominance of government in the White House, in the Senate, in the House. Many times, for many years, the NRA used to react to issues like, for example, the assault weapons ban during the Clinton administration, and they would react to it. But they have allies for the first time in a long time. They have strong allies in all three, the House, Senate, and the White House, and they have more money. There is more money coming to their coffers and more sympathetic members of Congress to do their bidding.
And a lot of that money, in fact, among the top recipients of that money, North Carolina's two Republican senators, Richard Burr and Tom Tillis. Tell us more.
That is remarkable. And the only reason Richard Burr is number two, he got just under $7 million in his career from the NRA. The only reason he's number two, number one is John McCain. And the only reason John McCain is number one is because the NRA gave a lot of money to his campaign when he ran for president in 2008 against Barack Obama. But Richard Burr, it's interesting. Richard Burr is number two of all the senators. Tom Tillis, the other Republican senator from North Carolina, is number four. And I think the reason they got so much money is that those two North Carolina Senate seats were crucial. Burr winning re-election in 2016, Tillis being elected in 2014 when he beat Kay Hagan. There was a lot of national money involved in those races. They were critical to Republicans winning control of the Senate and keeping control of the Senate in 2014 and 2016, respectively. So that's why those two, Burr and Tillis, got so much money, because those North Carolina Senate seats were so crucial.
Let's pivot to another big conversation at the Capitol this week. Rob Porter scandal, former White House staff secretary, come under fire for alleged spousal abuse. It's about the White House timeline and what they knew. The FBI had been investigating. There had been reports on paper, and the White House has not been clear this week about when it knew, what it knew about Rob Porter. Tell us more.
Well, not being clear is an understatement. Basically, they were giving different opinions and different statements, no matter depending on the time of day. And we saw that not only the fact that Rob Porter was accused of physically abusing his two ex-wives, and the White House, everybody was poo-pooing that, including John Kelly, until that picture of the woman with the black eye surfaced, and people said, well, maybe there's something there. But also conflicting stories about how Rob Porter could be in the kind of position he is, because he didn't even have security clearance. And what was fascinating to me is that 2 days ago, 3 days ago, when Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, testified under oath on Capitol Hill, said that we talked about this with the administration last year, several times last year, about his lack of security clearance. And to listen to John Kelly, to the chief of staff, to listen to Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the White House press secretary, there just to be conflicting and evolving stories about, as you say, Frank, what what they knew and when they knew it. And now the attention is now coming back to John Kelly. I mean, how could you be chief of staff when you allow, one, somebody who's abused two wives, ex-wives, and two, somebody who doesn't have security clearance to have all this, to be involved in such important decision-making that seems to be resting on John Kelly right now?
There was a lot of talk about his future this week as chief of staff. Where is that conversation now?
Well, it's interesting. Donald Trump, who of course will come out and say about Rob Porter that he has sympathy for him and he wants him to do well, and it also has to be due process. So, in other words, because Rob Porter worked for the administration, he is certainly not guilty just because somebody's accusing him of being guilty. There's a due process involved. That there's no due process when somebody like Al Franken is accused of mistreating women. But that's not the point. The point is that there's a lot of discussion that John Kelly is not doing the right job. Remember, the reason John Kelly became chief of staff back in August is because everything was so dysfunctional. You had Anthony Scaramucci and you had Sean Spicer and all these lies and crazy stuff going on. John Kelly was supposed to have some order. And the thought of anybody having order in the Trump White House seems to be very weird. So anyway, the president has not said anything publicly. He trotted out Kellyanne Conway over the weekend on CNN and CBS to say, well, the president has faith, you know, a lot of faith in John Kelly. Nobody believes that. First of all, one, the president always has faith in somebody until he fires them 5 minutes later. But two, who would want to take it? And I noticed that Mark Meadows, who's a congressman from North Carolina, the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, has been mentioned as a possible. Kevin McCarthy, the House Majority Leader, has been mentioned as a possible replacement. But how do you – the thought of Donald Trump having a chief of staff – just seems so incongruous to everything that happens. John Kelly was supposed to restore order, to limit the tweeting, to limit the access to the president, and nothing has changed, basically, from the replacement from Reince Priebus to John Kelly. And the fact that Kelly looks so bad with possibly not telling the truth about Rob Porter, perhaps trying to make him stay. One White House story said Kelly pushed him out. Another story said, no, he tried to keep him in the job. Why would anybody, why would Meadows, why would Kevin McCarthy, why would anybody want to be chief of staff to somebody who is, be honest, he's mercurial, he's impulsive, and it's just dysfunctional.
And this impulsive style that has led to dysfunction at the White House from the very start is something that, as you say, would discourage anybody from being a chief of staff, but it also points to his management, crisis management in particular. When you have somebody like that in the top job, it shows up in crises like the Parkland shooting attack, which again took a long time for the White House to respond at all, and then when it did, in many quarters, not a very satisfactory response.
You know, that's a very good point, Frank. I mean, you think of other crises in recent American history. You think of Ronald Reagan assuring the country after the Challenger explosion. You think of Bill Clinton after Oklahoma City. You think of George W. Bush at 9/11. They all went to the American people immediately and tried to soothe the nation. It took 20 hours for the president to have a statement. Nobody said that Donald Trump is going to be the empathizer in chief, but this just seems to be something when it comes to guns. And the fact is that a year ago, this Republican Congress passed a bill that reversed Barack Obama with an R, executive order that kept guns out of the hands of people with mental illness. And the Republican Congress reversed that, and Donald Trump signed it. So for all the talk about this is not a gun issue, this is about mental illness, and the fact that the Congress now allows guns to be back in the hands of people with mental illness, it just undercuts their message.
Well, and critics point out that the Constitution protects individuals' rights to have guns, so the NRA may be protecting a bigger industry than simply the right. The right is protected already in the Constitution. But the other thing critics are saying is that when you emphasize mental health over guns, that when you look at our record on mass death, mass shootings in this country, we're far and away above the 2 and 3 a month that we're now on average experiencing, is far above any other country. And when you look at the difference, it is not in our mental health statistics, but indeed with the ease with which you can receive a gun and get a gun in this country. At least that's what critics would say. So then why the emphasis on mental health when, frankly, the statistics point to something else?
Well, yeah. Well, the reason is the emphasis on mental health is because they don't want to talk about the easy access to guns, and the NRA will fight that. But, you know, after the slaughter of 32 first graders at Newtown Elementary School in Connecticut, after the slaughter of black parishioners in Charleston, South Carolina, everybody said, okay, this time we're going to be serious about this, and nothing ever happens. There was talk after the Las Vegas shootings about the bump stock accessories that Congress was going to work on, and that was forgotten too. So we always say our thoughts and prayers are with the victims and their families. But enough of thoughts and prayers already. If Congress was not going to react after Newtown, if they were not going to react after Las Vegas, if they were not going to react after Charlestown, any of these slaughters, Aurora, Colorado, I don't know if Parkland changes anything, if it changes the dynamic in anything. And I can't think of a single congressman, or very few, who have been defeated for being an NRA defender. We know that in 1994, Democrats who supported the gun ban were defeated, but pro-gun Republican, pro-gun members of Congress have rarely lose their seats because of their views on guns.
I'm giving you 26 seconds now to talk about Stormy Daniels. So very quickly, sex scandals don't always bring down sitting presidents. Look at Bill Clinton. Donald Trump, $130,000. We don't know if it's hush money to a porn star. It didn't, but it's looking awfully bad and a lot like that, at least publicly. What is the effect? Now you have 8 seconds left.
None whatsoever. I mean, New Yorker magazine has a thing that Donald Trump had a relationship with the Playmate of the Year in 2006, shortly after he got married to Melania. Basically, Donald Trump is not paying the price for any of these scandals.
Ken Rudin is the political junkie. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Frank.
There's more on our website, stateofthings.org, and our conversation continues on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.